171 Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to begin by offering amendments to get the bill in the proper shape that it should be. First amendment is an A4 amendment.
Do we have the A4 amendment?
No,
we can wait while it's being distributed. While it's being distributed, members, tomorrow morning we'll have the last hearing before the break with Senator Stump's education bill, second education bill, and the one-time bill.
The A4 amendment is
Senator Fredrickson?
Technical amendment. It's language that got left out of the bill in the division that conforms to the spreadsheet and makes other technical corrections.
Okay. We have the A4 amendment in front of us. Has it been distributed?
Thank you.
Okay. Questions on the A4 amendment, the technical amendment? Okay. If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
Then I have an A6 amendment. It also is a technical amendment.
Okay, Senator Berglund, what does this do?
This is a health department amendment and deletes unnecessary base adjustment riders.
Deletes some base reductions.
All right, people have the amendment. Okay, Senator Berglund moves adoption of the A6 amendment. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
I have an A5 amendment. If it's easier, we could distribute all of them. There's an A3.
All right, let's.
A2 and an A5.
Okay, why don't we take a minute and distribute the amendments?
So then I would move the A5 amendment. This amendment, Mr. Chairman, corrects some of the numbers in the bill.
Okay. And Mr. Godfrey, I assume you've gone through those numbers?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right. People are matching up. Further discussion on the A5 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Then I have an A3 amendment. It's a more substantive amendment. I was requested by the chair to do some things to reduce the tails in my bill, and this amendment does that in two ways. First of all, it suspends the APS COLA for nursing facilities in fiscal year 2010 and 2011, and that reduces the tails by $18.1 million. And then instead of doing a four-year phase-in of rebasing of nursing home facilities, it does a five-year phase-in of rebasing, and that reduces the tails by $40.5 million. So our tails, after this amendment is adopted, would be $442,439,000.
Yeah, and members, let me indicate that we've attempted to maintain the structural balance of the budget in the out years, and we did not establish, all of you know, the chairman know, we didn't establish an official formal tails target for each division, but we worked between Mr. Mossman and myself, along with the chairs and the fiscal analysts, worked to make sure that our budgets had an appropriate tails target. We always have some difficulties with Health and Human Services just by the nature of the division and the kinds of areas within the division. It's always very difficult to take a target and then make sure we have a tails target that conforms, just because of the nature of the programs, because of the forecasts involved with the programs. And so, Senator Berglund, so when we worked through this and realized, yes, we did have somewhat of a tails target, Senator Berglund wasn't easy for her, but she worked hard to prepare this amendment to maintain the structural balance of the budget. So hope we'll support Senator Berglund's amendment. We have the A3 amendment in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
And the last amendment is an A2 amendment. This was provisions that were in a bill of Senator Higgins regarding special transportation. There were a lot of amendments to the bill, and we heard the bill the last day we were hearing bills, and so we did not have a fiscal note on the amendment. We do have a small increase in wheelchair transportation rates in the bill. That was part of her bill. This is the rest of the language. It is budget neutral. It does simplify the process of determining what type of special transportation should be provided to people. It provides that the assessments would be done semi-annually instead of every trip, and provides that residents residing in a licensed nursing facility would receive stretcher transportation services that would be door-to-door in every case. Those are areas where we've had the most problems with the broker that the Department of Human Services has been using for the last couple of years to determine what special transportation should be provided to individuals. And this amendment is budget neutral.
Okay, we have the A2 amendment in front of us. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stumpf.
I have a question on page 1 on Clause C. Why that language there, that new language? The special transportation. And I guess the question I have is that isn't that whole area one that has gone up considerably? I mean, from previous years, there was quite a bit of discussion in the media about how we have this out-of-state provider.
Mr. Chairman.
It was costing the state a whole lot more money than it did before.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Stumpf, this doesn't refer to bidding for the vendor of the for the provider that is the vendor for the rides. It's referring to volume purchasing of special transportation services. And I think the idea here is that as long as anyone wants to provide special transportation services and can do so for the mileage rate that's being paid, that they should be able to be a provider. You shouldn't say that certain people can be providers and other people can't be providers of the service itself.
So, Mr. Chairman.
It'd be like, you know, doing a bulk purchasing for medical services in the MA program on the fee-for-service basis. We allow all providers in the program, and they provide the services on the basis that they're willing to accept the rates.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator Bergman, this doesn't pertain to that out-of-state bidder that's costing us more. And okay, maybe you can point that out when you go through the bill.
I don't think you'll actually see it in the bill. It's in the base appropriations. We did last biennium, Mr. Chairman, request that the department rebid the program. They did rebid the program. They gave it to the same vendor, and they gave them an increase in the reimbursement. So you know, sometimes you can lead the horses to water, but that's about it.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, you know, that sure does sound like a transportation issue, and maybe next year or later on this year we should have that discussion in our committee, and if the department still can't get it right, I'm sure that they wouldn't mind handing those responsibilities over to the Department of Transportation.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Murphy, just remember this is a medical assistance reimbursed service. This is for sick people to be delivered to their doctor's offices.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Berglund, I'm sure that we could probably get this shaped up.
Okay. At any rate, the A2 amendment does make an improvement really in the special transportation area.
Okay, we've got the A2 amendment in front of us, as long as Senator Murphy is not going to have a Rule 21 motion on the floor. So with the A2 amendment in front of us, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, then I'm just going to refer you to a chart that's been handed out of various bills that have been included and the authors of those bills. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on every one of them. I am going to overview the major provisions in the bill, and then we'll have Mr. Godfrey go through the spreadsheet. We do have some funding in the bill for child care. We provide for reducing the parental child care copayments to the 2003 level. We adjust the entry level for child care assistance to 250% of the federal poverty guideline for certain families. We increase child care provider rates by 3%, and we expand the child care absent day policy. We reduce child care licensing fees and provide that the Department of Human Services will do the background checks for those family child care providers. We also discontinue the 3% transfer of funds from the basic sliding fee child care program for the at-home infant care program. That did help us get some savings to be able to provide more for our basic child care programs that have been suffering quite a bit because of past cuts. Article 2 deals a lot with the TEFRA program, and I might just say, Mr. Chairman, that I am so happy that the Senate has decided not to do refinancing of TEFRA grants that we get from the federal government. Over the years since the TEFRA program, or since the MFIP program, I mean, has been created, we have refinanced over $300 million of that fund for everything from funding judges' salaries to giving tax cuts to balancing the budget. And this year we have some money in the MFIP program, and we have reinvested it in buying back cuts that were made to some of the poorest citizens of our state and helping to position us so that we'll be in a good position to meet the federal work participation requirements without creating onerous workfare or punitive sanctions in the program. We do it by reinvesting in the participants themselves. So the things that are in the bill regarding MFIP, we exclude the value of a vehicle for the purposes of MFIP. This will make it easier for people to be able to meet the transportation needs they have when they need to work. We eliminate the 20-hour work requirement.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Berglund, just to go back to the Article 1, you mentioned the at-home infant care program. It's not – you're essentially eliminating funding for that. Mm-hmm. So what's the impact there? How many people are utilizing that program, and what options will be available to them? Just the regular sliding fee child care will be their alternative?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Anderson, this is a program for people who are not working but staying at home and taking care of their own children. And so if they choose to work, they would have the child care programs that we have available. If they're going to stay at home, then they'll stay at home and take care of their children just like everybody else does.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, do you know how many people have been using the program?
Stuff in there about the reverse mortgages.
It's about $1 million. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge number of people.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, I thought that program was income-based, so it was only available to some lower-income families.
It is available to low-income families. There are about 60 families a biennium that are using it. I guess our feeling was that the child care co-pays are very, very high and very difficult for a lot of low-income families also who actually are required to work in our MFIP program or otherwise need to work to support their families, and that money was better invested there.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, there's not any MFIP exemptions for parents of infants in the at-home care program that they wouldn't have to work? Only those who are not required.
Mr. Chairman, there is an exemption for the first year of a newborn child from the MFIP work requirements, but those families are getting the MFIP grant.
Here it is.
Okay. Back to MFIP then. We eliminate the 20-hour work requirement while an MFIP participant is in post-secondary education. This will allow more people who are capable and want to be in post-secondary education to be able to do that. We also buy some work-study slots in the bill for those individuals. We establish a $100 bonus per month for individuals that are leaving the MFIP program but are meeting the federal work participation requirement. This will allow us to claim those hours that they're working to meet the federal work participation requirement. We also, in the bill, create a program for stabilizing families in the MFIP program, and we remove them from federal dollars so that they do not have to be counted against the work participation requirement. We also buy back a number of cuts, as I said earlier, that were made to some of our poorest families in the state. One of them is we repeal the $50 housing penalty for people living in public housing. We repeal the $125 SSI penalty for families in MFIP who have a disabled family member. We repeal the family cap, and we accept the governor's provision to continue MFIP for non-citizens. We also have provision in here which will expand slightly the criteria for the adoption assistance program. We have a number of changes to comply with federal law that will allow the Commissioner of Human Services to perform background studies for child foster care. Then in the area of health care, we have quite a bit of health care reform in the bill that will lay the foundation for Senate's movement to universal affordable health care for all Minnesotans. Again, Mr. Chairman, I'm very pleased that the Senate did not choose to use the health care access fund for items other than expanding health care for the uninsured. We have a growing number of uninsured in our state. We're up to over 300,000 uninsured. Clearly, there's a huge need to make sure we target those funds appropriately to reduce the number of uninsured and thereby reduce the amount of uncompensated hospital care that we have in the state. And that is what we have used the health care access fund for in this bill. We create a patient incentive health program. This will complement the governor's Q-Care proposal. We'll make sure that patients are rewarded if they're meeting the outcomes that are recommended in the area of diabetes, cardio care, and preventative health care visits. We provide funding for outreach for our health care programs. Most of our children who are uninsured in the state of Minnesota are eligible for one of our health care programs today, but they are not enrolled, and so we are funding outreach in the program to make sure we get more of them enrolled. We create a primary care initiative in the bill. We modify the disproportionate hospital share language in order to qualify for the federal matching funds, both for the previous biennium as well as this biennium that we're appropriating for. We include a modest increase in the wheelchair accessible van reimbursement. We increase reimbursement for Bethesda Rehabilitation Hospital and Gillette Children's Hospital. These two hospitals are especially having difficulty staying afloat because of the hospital cuts that have been made over the last 5 years. We modify provisions in our health care programs that eliminate the need for detailed information regarding the verification of income and assets. This is part of our effort to shorten the enrollment form and make the program more user-friendly in terms of people applying for it. We do provide medical assistance patients who are in the Part D program, the payment of their copays. Over the last year with the Part D program, we've seen a 21% increase in emergency room admissions because people in who are both eligible for Medicaid and Medicare cannot afford their copayments. We provide for funding for the federally qualified health care centers by creating an alternative accounting system for them. We provide medical assistance coverage for care coordination and patient education by the community workers in the community clinics. We provide medical assistance payment to primary care clinics for care coordination. We eliminate most of the medical assistance and GAMC copayments. We provide for a permanent rate increase for critical access dental providers. This was something the governor funded out of the health care access fund. We do fund the portion that belongs in the health care access fund out of the health care access fund, but we provide the portion that should be for medical assistance out of the general fund. And that was no small feat, but without it, we would have seen most of our dental access providers leave the program because their reimbursement would have been cut in half. We provide a rate increase for family planning services that are offered through the medical assistance waiver. We changed the renewal period for MinnesotaCare to 12 months instead of 6 months. We repeal the limited benefit set for single adults in the MinnesotaCare program. We increase the income eligibility limit for people without children in MinnesotaCare to 250% of poverty this biennium and 215% of poverty in the next biennium. We increase the inpatient hospital benefit to $20,000 in the MinnesotaCare program in this bill. We remove the insurance barriers for MinnesotaCare for children, and we modify the employer-subsidized insurance barriers for adults by exempting ESI coverage that costs the employee over 8% of the employee's gross income. We remove the $50,000 per year income limit for parents with children in the program, and we remove the limit on post-secondary students who otherwise would be eligible for Minnesota Care. We provide Minnesota Care coverage for undocumented children. That was a cut that was made in 2003. And we reverse the Minnesota Care premium increases passed in 2003 and 2005. We eliminate premiums for military families for 1 year. And we modify the definition of income for self-employed farmers. And we create a buy-in option to Minnesota Care for small employers who have not provided coverage for their employees for the last 12 months. We also establish, going on then to the continuing care area of the bill, we establish a reverse mortgage incentive program. This will help low-valued homeowners in mostly rural Minnesota be able to use reverse mortgages to meet their long-term care needs. We remove the sunset on the Council on Disabilities and make it permanent. We include the governor's proposal to provide more consumer information on community services to elderly persons and to require transitional screening of elderly persons before they go into assisted living. And we expand the availability of sign language interpreters. Half the money in the bill, members, is for providing long-term care COLAs or other long-term care increases. The COLA that we are providing in this bill is 2.83 and 2.83 each year of the biennium percent increase. I wish it could be more. I wish I had more money in my bill as well. But I did feel that this was a big priority of the Senate, so we did use half of our target for this area. For nursing homes, the COLA is 2.7 because we have provided the quality assurance bonus that the governor has started in the area of nursing home care. The COLA for nursing homes is provided for the first year of the biennium, and the second year of the biennium, we dedicate the money to rebasing of nursing homes. Our nursing homes have not been rebased since we've created the reimbursement system we have, and we have many nursing homes that are paid low rates compared to other nursing homes that are providing the same care or getting higher rates. And this rebasing should help to eliminate some of those inequities.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir, Federal
Chairman. Senator Berglund, I don't serve on your division, as you know, and I'm could you give us a little more detail about rebasing? Does that mean some will... Will there be winners and losers, or will they all be adjusted to a higher base, or you know, what's the process?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fredrickson, because the rebasing is not just comparing facilities to each other, but comparing facilities to the costs of providing care, most facilities will see an increase. There's a handful of facilities that may be decreased, and we feel like we need to look into that and deal with that next year. We have 1 year before this would become operational to make adjustments in those areas if it's needed.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, this won't in any way penalize those who have been efficient and very aware of expenditures and control their expenditures?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fredrickson, I don't believe so. What we're looking at is what the average costs would be, not what the average expenditures are. So if they've been efficient, their rates would go up, and they can reinvest in areas that they may have neglected because of their lower rates.
Okay, thank you.
The bill also does include rebasing for nursing homes every 2 years thereafter. New geographic groupings and other components included in the rebasing. Next, I'll move on to mental health and chemical health. We do include in this bill the governor's mental health restructuring initiative. We also provide clarification for chemical use assessments when a person is arrested outside of his or her home county and modify the chemical dependency allocation formula to the counties. These chemical dependency provisions were recommendations of the legislative auditor. We provide for certified peer specialists in the mental health area. We provide supplementary rate increases for certain group residential housing facilities. And we have a couple of provisions in here to provide some new programs for compulsive gambling. In the area of health, we establish a new formula for medical education and research cost distributions. Federal government is really getting a lot stricter about the use of medical assistance dollars and their match, and is requiring that those kind of dollars go to facilities that are teaching facilities that also are serving medical assistance clients. We modify a number of fees in the bill that were recommended by the governor and the Department of Health. They are in the area of wells, diagnostic laboratory handling, inheritable or congestive disorders, specimen fees, housing with services establishments, audiologists, occupational therapists, mortuary science, and hearing aid dispensers. The only fee increase that we did not recommend was for assistant physical therapists, because there is no licensure of them in the state today, and the policy committee didn't hear that bill, so that maybe would be something that could be brought forward next year. The bill creates an early hearing and detection and intervention program and provides some grants to help parents with deaf children. We modify the electronic medical records grant program by substantially increasing funding for it, and we provide subsidies to the federally qualified health centers and rural health centers. We remove the language that implemented a reduction in family planning service grants and restore them back to their pre-2003 level. And we provide planning grants for community initiatives that will serve the uninsured and underinsured who have chronic health care conditions. We also extend the dependent coverage for private insurance policies for unmarried children under the age of 25, regardless of whether they're in college or not. Renew our goal of achieving universal health care coverage by the year 2010. We have a goal in here for all providers in the state to have interoperable electronic health care records by January 1st of 2015. We have a provision that requires hospitals to report hospital-specific performance on hospital-acquired infections. We create a health plan purchasing pool study in the bill. That was a Senator Olson bill. And we require all providers that contract with the state to use and accept a uniform billing and coding requirement. And this will have tremendous savings in the system today. Every clinic and hospital has hundreds of different billing forms that they have to deal with. And by going to uniform billing, we'll have a lot of administrative savings in the system. The other areas of the bill that are funded are the Veterans Nursing Homes Board. We fund them at the governor's requested level. We fund the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board, the Council on Disabilities, and several ombudsman's offices. We have included in the bill the standard 3.25% increase for all state agencies to fund them for inflation. And we changed the open and standing appropriation for ambulance services, personnel longevity awards, and incentives to make it a direct appropriation every biennium. Now I'd like to have Mr. Godfrey go through the spreadsheet so you can see the numbers for the various items that I have described.
Mr. Chair, members, before we start, I'd just like to give you a quick orientation to the spreadsheet. If you look on the first page, there's really four primary columns here. The first one will describe the budget change items. The second will lay out the governor's recommendations for the next two bieniums. And the next column will puts forth the Senate position as found in Senate File 2171. And the last column provides a difference between the Senate and the governor for both bieniums. Also, just like to mention that this tracking sheet just reflects the items in Senate File 2171. It does not reflect the one-time items that were funded in Senate File 461, which I believe is before this committee. It was passed out of division last week. If you look, beginning, the first page is really a summary page, which summarizes the spending in all the agencies under this our division's jurisdiction. Beginning on line 2, you'll see the Senate spending in all funds for the biennium is almost $494 million. On line 2, you'll see general fund spending for this biennium is $245 million. That was our target. And in the next biennium, it's $501 million. Senator Berglund mentioned that amount will come down by around $58 million once the amendments that were passed today are incorporated in the spreadsheet. And then just going down the page, you'll see summaries of by spending by agency. And then flipping to the next page, page 2, we'll go begin with the Department of Human Services on line 76. This first item is an agency management reduction to the department's agency management area. It's a one-time reduction for the in the biennium, in the next biennium of $544,000. On line 82, that amount of that $544,000 is deposited in what is called a health improvement account and is placed there for a pay-for-performance agency incentive. And the idea here is that the agency will meet two goals, and one of them is to finish a facility at the Minnesota Sex Offender Program's campus for juvenile offenders and by January of this coming year. And the other is to reduce Minnesota care application processing from its current level to the statutory requirement of 30 days. If the department does not do this by meet those goals by January 1 of 09, that money then is left in this account to be spent by the legislature on health improvement items. Next, on line 88 is an agency management reduction for certain activities. Those include on line 90 a transfer for the Washington, D.C. office that the Department of Human Services makes for $390,000 and a reduction for funding gubernatorial staff at $120,000. On line 95 is a governor's recommendation for background study fee alignment.
Mr. Godfrey, maybe we should ask, I think I know the answer, but maybe for other members. What about the gubernatorial staff?
Mr. Chairman, it's our belief that it should be funded out of the governor's budget, not out of the Department of Human Services budget.
In other words, that it would be more appropriate to do that funding strictly within Senator Betzold's bill as opposed to do it through the Department of Human Services.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Senator Frederickson.
What is that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, it's one person, and they work on these issues in the governor's office.
Mr. Chairman, as long as there's a pause here, I had a question back up on line 82 where there was reference to a juvenile sex offender program. Where is that located at?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, that's located at the Moose Lake sex offender site. We have a number of juveniles every year, between 7 and 9, that are committed from our counties who have never been found guilty of any crime as an adult. And they are trying to get a new program started so that those offenders would have a separate treatment program. I think it's more appropriate, as do the offenders up there, think it's more appropriate for those individuals to be in a separate program.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, is that similar to the Leo Hoffman Center at St. Peter?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, no.
It's younger?
These people, unfortunately, have been committed as sex offenders, and the way they get out is the same way anybody gets out of there, and it's pretty hard to get out of there. But I have a lot of hope that if we can create a separate program for these individuals, that they will have a better chance of getting out of there than they might otherwise have. And when I was up there in December visiting with their resident consul, the gentlemen who are there also do not feel that it's appropriate. I mean, you know, they feel that these young kids coming in there don't really have a chance and that they should have separate programming.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I certainly agree. I think the chances of success are much higher in that program than with an adult. So perhaps the distinction, these folks are there involuntarily. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Leo Hoffman Center, they are there voluntarily, although mm-hmm. certainly they have been placed there mm-hmm. with a lot of adult intervention strongly suggesting that they be there. Thank you.
And, Senator Berglund, I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to finish my question relative to that gubernatorial appointee, and I'm sorry for belaboring the point. That's a fairly small appropriation in the size of this bill. But that person is actually situated in the governor's office. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
And it's not working at the Department of Human Services or the Department of Health?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Chair, members, going back to the spreadsheet, on line 101 is the governor's recommendation to provide funding for background studies fees to enable the department to become in compliance with the Adam Walsh Act for Missing Children. That's a small appropriation of $2.5 million in 08-09 that's funded in this bill. Next, on line 101 is a Senate proposal to provide agency carry forward for technology and infrastructure to Department of Human Services and the Department of Health, and that's a one-time cost of $1.7 million in 08. On line 113 is the governor's MFIB federal compliance recommendation, and that was not funded in this bill. Turning to page 3, on line 132 is the governor's proposal for MFIB legal non-citizens continuation. This is to enable certain legal non-citizens to continue to receive MFIB using state-only dollars. The Senate bill funds this request fully at $2 million in 08-09. On line 138 is the governor's proposal for MFIB time limit and program violations policy, and that proposal was not accepted in this bill. On line 143 is a Senate file 154, which is to repeal the MFIB SSI penalty, $125 a month penalty, at a cost to the TANF fund of $12.7 million in 08-09. On line 149 is the repeal of the MFIB $50 housing penalty at a cost of $4.3 million to the TANF fund in 08-09. On line 155 is the repeal of the MFIB family cap at a cost of $4.7 million in the next biennium. On line 161 is the elimination of the MFIB 20-hour work requirement for MFIB participants who have a post-secondary education plan, and that cost is $860,000 in 08-09. On line 167 is a Senate provision to add two participant groups to the MFIB hard-to-employ category, and that's a cost of $71,000 in the next biennium, and that's general fund money. On 172 is to eliminate the MFIB work hours requirement for employed hardship extension people who fall in that category, and that's a cost of $899,000 in 08-09. On line 178 is the provision from Senate File 559 to exclude a value of one licensed vehicle that is valued less than $7,500 for MFIB eligibility, and that costs $687,000 of TANF funds in this next biennium. On line 185 is the MFIB work participation bonus. This provides $100 for 24 months to individuals who have left the MFIB program because of work, and this is part of this bill's effort to meet the work participation requirement set forth by the federal government. And that has an initial cost of $844,000 in 08-09, and the tails of that are $16.7 million in 10 and 11. Turning to page 4, on line 192 is a Senate provision to finance the general fund provisions in Senate Files 559 by TANF refinancing. And this provides savings.
You can just stop a minute. And, Mr. Chairman, the reason that we're doing this, these are TANF funds that are being refinanced to general funds and then reinvested in the TANF program. And the reason we need to do this is because if we use TANF funds, then the money we're spending will, the people we're spending the money on will count in our work participation requirements. So there's two categories where we're using these dollars. One is for people in the Family Stabilization Program, and two, people receiving the $100 bonus. We can count the people receiving the $100 bonus in our work participation requirement, but by using state general fund dollars, we do not keep their time clock running. So this is not the kind of refinancing where the money is going into the general fund for general fund purposes. It's refinancing where the money is going back into the TANF program for TANF recipients.
Mr. Chair, members, just to note that the amount of savings to the general fund for 08-09 for the refinancing is a little more than $2 million. In 10 and 11, it's $19.2 million. Moving on to line 202 is appropriation for MFIB-supported work grants for counties. These are for programs that will serve up to 2,400 MFIB participants, and that is a cost of the TANF fund in 08-09 of $10.5 million. On line 210 is money that will be transferred from the Department of Human Services to the Office of Higher Ed for work-study program grants for MFIB participants, and that's a cost of $1.5 million in this next biennium. Next on 216 is integrated services projects for MFIB families. That's the cost of the TANF fund of $6 million for 08-09. On line 222 is increase in the base for MFIB consolidated support service grants. These are grants that go to counties for administering and operating the MFIB program, and this is an increase of $6.8 million in 08-09. On line 228 is an MFIB car loan and repair program appropriation for $3 million. Of TANF funds, and these funds will be given to counties who then pass them along to nonprofit agencies that work in with MFIB participants to provide car services to them. On line 234 is a small cost associated with the establishment of the Family Stabilization Service. This just recognizes that there will be fewer sanctions for this population once they've moved to the Family Stabilization Program, and that's a cost of $236,000 in 08-09. On line 240 is a small TANF appropriation to the New Chance program, and that's $280,000 in 08-09. On line 246 is a one-time appropriation of $450,000 for the Mother's First program in Ramsey County, and this program provides services and counseling to new mothers who have chemical dependency problems. On line 252 is the governor's refinancing proposal. On this item, the Senate did not do the governor's refinancing proposal, with the exception of capturing a small savings of $250,000 from a cancellation in fiscal year 08. On line 264 is the governor's proposal for child care assistance, and the Senate bill contains one provision from this item, which is on line 269, which is to provide adjust the entry level for MFIB and transitional year child care to 250% of federal poverty guidelines, and that's a cost to the TANF account of $431,000 in 08-09. On line 276 is to reduce the child care copays in both basic sliding fee and MFIB to the fee schedule that was in place before 2003, and that's a cost, and that becomes effective in July of 08, and a cost of $3 million or $3.1 million in 08-09. And next, on line 283 is to modify the absent date policy, and that's a small cost beginning in fiscal year 09 of $190,000. On line 290 is an increase to child care providers' reimbursement of 3%, and that's a cost both to the general fund and the TANF program of $11.3 million.
And if you can just stop a minute. We would have really liked to have bought back the freeze, but we didn't have the money to do that. But each year that we don't give some kind of increase to child care providers, the gap between the providers that are serving market rate children and those who are serving sliding fee and TANF MFIP child care children grows. And so we were glad we were able to put 3% in this item.
Mr. Chair, members, on line 297 is the DHS Child Care Center's background studies bill. This is basically has the Department of Human Services providing the background studies for child care providers that are currently now done by counties. This was a Senator Roebling bill and a cost of $209,000 to the general fund in 0809. On line 303 is Senator Clark bill, appropriation of one-time money in 0809 of $200,000 to provide a Hennepin and Ramsey County licensed family child care provider connections program. On line 308 is the elimination of the at-home infant care program, and this saves $2.5 million in general fund money for the next biennium. Turning to page 6, line 315 is a provision that is currently traveling in Senate File 461, the one-time bill. Here, this is modified food stamp requirements. Here, this tracking sheet is just tracking the savings that begin in fiscal year 09. There is a small $135,000 cost in 08 that's provided for in that one-time bill. On line 322 is the governor's proposal for adoption assistance and relative custody assistance. The only difference here is on lines 324 and 325 in the Senate position, which provides for a slightly smaller payment adjustment to individuals who receive payments through these two programs. The governor calls for a 5% increase, and the Senate bill has a 3.95% increase. On line 333 is a Senator Lori bill, which for adoption assistance, which provides for age-based criterion for special needs definition of children. Basically, it says that children who are adopted who are older than the age of 5 would be considered special needs, and that the payment for the adoption assistance program would be increased. And that's a small cost of $14,000 in 0809. On line 338 is the governor's long-term homeless program implementation, and the Senate bill fully funds this at $3.9 million in 0809. On line 345 is a Senator Pappas bill, Senate File 34, which is a Ramsey County GRH rate increase, and that costs $168,000 in 0809. On line 350 is a Senator Coring bill to provide Crow Wing County GRH supplemental payment for a new facility to be built in Brainerd, which is the Teen Challenge facility, and that's a cost to the general fund of $680,000 in 0809. On 355 is a Hennepin County, Ramsey County GRH supplemental payment of just over $1 million in 0809 general fund, and that's for, I believe, the People Incorporated facility. Next on line 360 is a governor proposal to do immigration status validation at recertification, and that recommendation was not accepted in this bill. On line 368 is the governor's healthy connections proposal, and that item was not accepted in this bill. On line 382 on page 7 is the governor proposal for a client medical access mileage adjustment. Basically provides increased payments for family members who provide medical transportation to their relatives, and that item was not funded in the Senate bill. On line 388 is the governor's Q-Care pay for performance item. This item is included in the bill. However, it's different from the governor's, and the difference is found on lines 391, 392, and 393, which just provides for lower incentive payments to medical providers who are meeting these health goals. Otherwise, it's fully funded, and the cost in the Senate bill is $1 million for the next biennium. On line 400 is
How is that expected to work? Can you just give us an example?
Mr. Chairman, we started this in the last biennium. We provided payments for providers who are meeting the goals in the area of diabetes. And we provided it on a one-time basis. So this will continue the payments for the diabetes incentive. It will allow a payment for the cardiac incentive, and it will allow an incentive for providers that are meeting the well-child goals. Targets are set, and any provider that meets that target, which, you know, is increasing, we're trying to get better each year, will receive the bonus payment. And this is being done in conjunction with the private sector, who also is providing incentive payments for these same areas.
And so what's the quantification? I guess that was my question. In terms of how are we determining the goals?
We're using the ICSI systems standards for diabetes and cardiac care and well child care. They're accepted by the and created and accepted by the medical community in Minnesota. The standards are pretty basic. I mean, for diabetes, we're talking about eye checks, foot care, maintaining blood glucose level, not having smoking by the patient.
And with the establishment of the program, where have the grants gone? To whom have the grants gone?
The first round of grants went to providers who were meeting a target of, somebody help me, I forget what the target was set at last year in the area of diabetes. The medical pay for performance for diabetes.
10% last year, and it's 20%.
Okay, so anyone that's improved, or 10% of their patients are receiving all of these things, got the payment last year, and next year it's 20% of their patients.
And any clinic is eligible for that?
Yeah, it's paid on a clinic basis.
So no matter how small or large the clinic?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, starting again on line 400 is the governor's recommendation. This is also part of his Q-Care package. It's to provide clinical case management for people with chronic disease. And this is a small amount of spending, $62,000 in 08-09, but then in the tails it does provide savings of $435,000 in 10-11. On line 408 is the extension of the critical access dental payments. The primary difference here is that the Senate funds this at $10.3 million, which is at the same level as the governor's, but does it through the general fund rather than the healthcare access fund. On line 418 is a community clinic rate increase for family planning services, and this is a $1.1 million cost in 08-09, essentially provides community family planning clinics with a 25% increase over their current costs.
If you can just stop here a minute. We received testimony that the waiver for family planning services that allows people to be eligible for medical assistance for that service and that service only, that private physicians are not actually seeing clients for this because the rates are so low that they can't afford to see them. And anyone who is seeing patients under this reimbursement is losing money. So that's why we did this increase.
Mr. Chair, members, on line 424 is a one-time appropriation of $500,000 in fiscal year 08 for the Oral Healthcare Innovations Program. On line 430 is a patient, and now we'll begin a series of proposals for Senate file, from Senate File 2. On line 430 is a funding for a patient incentive program for health goals, and this provides incentives to participants in the in our programs to meet health goals. And that's a cost of $1.1 million in 08-09.
So when you say
Mr.
participants.
Chairman, we're doing this in both the healthcare access fund for Minnesota Care as well as medical assistance. And this incentive would be provided to clients in the form of a small gift card. So it's for the patients to meet the same Q-Care standards. So if you have diabetes and you don't smoke and you maintain your glucose level under the appropriate levels, then you also receive an incentive payment, just like the physician does, because some of these things are really not as much in the physician's control as they are the individual's.
Okay. So it'd be like, what, a gift card to Target or?
Yeah, that is the idea. It's worked very well for one of our health plans we contract with. UCare has given gift cards to people for meeting certain standards of care. It's been very successful.
So who determines who gets the gift cards? The particular physician?
The physician does based on the quality standards that we have set for them and their patient. The governor had a proposal like this only just for Minnesota Care and reducing premiums for people, but you can't reduce premiums in the MA program because there are no premiums. So we thought it'd be better. We'd get more compliance if we did it across both programs.
Mr. Chair, members, beginning now on page 8 and line 439 is a one-time funding of $794,000 for a primary care access initiative pilot project. This would provide funds for a computer system which would link participants with finding available access to clinics and doctors when they're in need of medical attention. Next, on line 447 is Minnesota Healthcare Programs Outreach Funding. This costs combined from the general fund and the healthcare access fund of $30.8 million. Money here is going for increased program costs related to increased enrollment in both the general fund programs and the Minnesota Care Program for as a result of the outreach activities. It also provides funds for a media campaign and for an incentive to groups to enroll individuals in these programs and provide some administrative funding for the department to do this activity. On line 462 is
Mr. Godfrey, Senator Berglund, relative to that, so you've apportioned the money between the funds based upon a percentage of enrollment mm-hmm. in each fund?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but are the grants administered through the same office then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we're targeting especially places like Head Starts, community clinics, free immunization clinics, places where there might be a larger percentage of uninsured families.
Beginning on line 462 is provision to provide coverage of Medicare Part D copayments for dual eligibles who are also on medical assistance. This costs $11.5 million in 08-09. On line 468 is a change to the reimbursement method for federally qualified health clinics and rural health clinics to provide them reimbursement at their level of cost, and that's a cost of $6.5 million in 08-09. On line 476 is to provide MA reimbursement for community health worker services, and this actually results in a reduction of $61,000 in 08-09 because that people will be able to get services through these providers at lower cost than they might otherwise. On line 483 is to eliminate the MA and GAMC pharmacy copayments effective March 1st of 2008, and that's a cost in 08-09 of $14.1 million of general fund money. On line 491 is to provide a one-month rolling eligibility beginning in fiscal year 09 of cost of $6 million. And on line 497 is a rate increase to eliminate the rateable reductions at Bethesda Hospital, and that's a cost of $468,000 out of the general fund in 08-09. Turning to page 9 is on line 504 is an increase on outpatient hospital rates to Gillette Children's Hospital at a cost of $1 million in 08-09. On line 510 is a mental funding for a mental health peer specialist program at a cost of $121,000. That's a Senator Berglund bill. On line 517 is an appropriation for fetal alcohol syndrome program funding, and this is a Senator Sharon bill, and this costs $150,000 in 08-09. On line 522, and now we're going back to some items that are in Senate File 2, is item for a research for a grant to a research center for the evaluation of state health care policies, and that's provided for one-time basis in fiscal year 08 of $300,000. On line 527 is Senator Solon bill, which is to provide funding for a community-based health care coverage program demonstration project in St. Louis County, and this has a cost of $424,000 in 08-09. On line 532 is to eliminate the add-back of depreciation for farm income for Minnesota Care eligibility, and that has a cost of $1 million in 08-09. On line 540 is the increased Minnesota Care inpatient hospital cap from $10,000 to $20,000 to the cost of $5.6 million in the next biennium. On line 546 is to permit Minnesota Care eligibility for undocumented children at a cost of $5.8 million in 08-09. On line 554 is to increase income eligibility for adults without children to 200% in fiscal year 08 and 215% in fiscal year 09, and that's a cost of $11.5 million from the Health Care Access Fund in 08-09. Next, on line 562 is to modify the Minnesota Care Verification of Income and Employee Subsidized Insurance, and that costs $27.9 million in the next biennium, all from the Healthcare Access Fund. And line 571 is to modify the adult ESI barrier if the out-of-pocket costs are greater than 8% of gross income, and that's a cost of $12.2 million in 08-09. On line 579 is to eliminate the Minnesota Care 6-month renewals and make them 12-month renewals. A small, relatively small cost, $696 million in 08-09. On line 585 is to eliminate $50,000 income limit for Minnesota Care adults with children, and that is a $596,000 cost in 08-09. On line 593 is to eliminate the ESI barrier for children at a cost of $1.8 million in 08-09. Next, on line 601 is to eliminate the Minnesota Care 4-month insurance barrier for children at a cost of $1.2 million in 08-09. On line 609, expand Minnesota Care coverage eligibility for the homeless by lifting the address requirement, and that's a cost of $689,000 in 08-09. And on the very last line is the beginning of the waive Minnesota Care premiums for military members and their families at a cost of $1.5 million in 08-09.
Mr. Perriman?
Mr.
Chairman and Senator Berglund, why would there be an increased cost on line 579 when you do a one-year renewal instead of a six-month renewal? Is it that you'd think that there'd be a savings in terms of paperwork and processing and administration and all that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Stumpf, there is some reduction in the need for administrative costs, but one of the things that happens when you have that kind of a renewal period is you have people fall off the program. You know, I had one gentleman write to me desperately trying to keep his daughter enrolled in Minnesota Care and all the things that he had to do and all the information he had to get. And if one piece of information is missing, you cannot get renewed. Well, you have to go through this every 6 months. So people, it's the cost of people not falling off the program, and we don't want them to fall off the program.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, going to page 11 on line 628 is Healthcare Access Fund cost to, in the Senate bill, to eliminate the Minnesota Care premium increases, both the sliding scale and the 8% increase, and this brings premiums back to a pre-2003 level at a cost of $4.3 million in 08-09. On line 636 is to repeal the Minnesota Care limited benefit set for adults without children at cost of $12.7 million to the Healthcare Access Fund in 08-09. On line 643 is to eliminate the ESI barrier for students, cost of $2 million in 08-09. On 649 is the Minnesota Care small employer option, a cost of $1.8 million in 08-09 and a cost in the tails of $18.3 million in 08-09. On line 658 is a small administrative cost, one time of $119,000 to the Department of Human Services for getting their mental health administration area into shape for uniform billing requirements. On line 665 is a six-month delay in the health match computer system that will be created because of the provisions in this bill, and that is results in a savings of $24.5 million in 08-09 to the general fund and a cost to the healthcare access fund of $24.3 million in 08-09. On line 672 is a governor's proposal for healthcare enrollment shift transfer, and that proposal is not included in this bill. Going to page 12 on line 681 is Senate item which is included in this bill, which is to modify the disproportionate share hospital payment or hospital claim mechanism. And this results in one-time savings of $6.1 million in fiscal year 08. On line 688 is the governor's proposal for disproportionate share hospital payments, and this item was not accepted in this bill. On line 697 is item relating to Senate File 857, which passed off the floor yesterday. This recognizes reduced managed care rates in the forecast for our Minnesota health care program managed care plans, and this results in a savings to the general fund of $24.1 million in 08-09 and in the tails a savings to the general fund of $89.3 million, and savings in the Healthcare Access Fund of $7.5 million in 2008-09, and savings in the tails of almost $25 million in 2010-11. On line 706 is administrative funding for citizenship documentation. This is a governor's proposal, which is in this bill, fully funded at $736,000. This provides administrative support help to participants who need to demonstrate their citizenship in order to become eligible for the program. On line 715 is the long-term care payment adjustment, and I'll just go over this in a little bit more detail. All long-term care providers will receive a 2.83% increase in fiscal year 08 and a 2.83% increase in fiscal year 09, with the exception of nursing facilities. And I think, as Senator Berglund said earlier, you can find on line 718 the 2.7% increase that will go to nursing facilities in fiscal year 08, and 0.13% will be set aside for quality add-ons in their payments, and then there will be a 0% COLA in fiscal year 09. And then on line 719, there will be a rebasing. Is a rebasing proposal, which now, based on the amendment that was added here just earlier today, will be a five-year phase-in, and that's a cost of $10 million in fiscal year 09. And then there's also the creation of a nursing home moratorium process, which will provide money for new construction projects at nursing homes, and that's a cost of $300,000. And then skipping down one more line is line 722, which excludes nursing facilities in Stearns, Benton, and Sherburne counties from receiving the COLA in fiscal year 08 because they had received a COLA as a result of the 2006 session. And that, once you add up all those items, the cost to the general fund in fiscal year 08-09 is $124 million. And then in the tails, it is $318 million. Going down to line 740 at the end of the page is a very small increase to a Big Stone County nursing facility rate increase of $2,000 in 08-09 to cover some pension costs that they have.
I believe this is the one where they closed a facility, and the facility that closed turned in the paperwork too late for the department to give the second facility the savings that they should have had. And so this just gives that second facility the savings that they should have had.
Going to page 13, members, Mr. Chair, on line 745 is a rate increase for Waseca County Nursing Facility that provides ventilator care, and that's an increase of $44,000 in 08-09. Similarly, on line 750 is a rate increase for Mankato Nursing Facility, which also provides similar care to cost of $15,000 in 08-09. On line 755 is an increase to the Range Incorporated, a DT&H and ICFMR in St. Louis County, and that rate increase is valued at $634,000 in 08-09. On line 760 is a Hennepin County ICFMR rate increase that cost of $338,000 in 08-09.
If I can just explain these two, St. Louis County dealt with the waiver cap that was issued by the Department of Human Services last biennium differently than other counties. And most counties reduced some hours of service in every client plan. St. Louis County did not do that. And now, in order to meet the overspending of their waiver cap, they're reducing the payment rate to all waiver facilities. And on the Iron Range, they have a very old DT&H that's part of a campus with a waiver facility. The waiver rate has been subsidizing the DT&H to stay open. With the reduction in the waiver rate, that DT&H will close. And so that's the reason we've given this rate increase to that facility. The second facility is one that is downsizing and creating two facilities, one for their elderly residents. And because it's been around a long time, a number of their elderly residents need handicapped accessible living arrangements, and so that rate increase will pay for that to happen. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, beginning again on line 765 is a Senate proposal to increase medical non-emergency transportation wheelchair rate at a cost of $200,000 in the next biennium. On line 770 is the Senator Berglund's reverse mortgage incentive program at a cost of $386,000 in 0809. On line 779 is a governor's proposal for elderly waiver assisted living coverage that creates savings of $128,000 in 0809 and is included in this bill. On line 787 is a study of MA portion of home care rates at a one-time cost of $60,000 in 0809. On line 793 is a governor's proposal to provide uniform home and community-based services provider standards across the waiver providers. Then this item was not it's not included in this bill. Then just beginning here on line, the very last line, and then continuing on to the next page is the governor's mental health initiative. And that item is fully funded in this bill. However, there are some differences, and you can see them on line 803. The first line on the next page shows the difference in general fund spending to the governors. In this bill, general fund, this item is funded primarily through general fund appropriation, and then with a small amount of health care access fund money, $5.1 million in this biennium. And that amount for the health care access fund spending is spent exclusively on the cost of the Minnesota Care Program. And whereas in the governor's position, he essentially pays for his entire item with the health care access fund. And then there's also a few other differences. One on line 841, which is to provide an additional rate increase. This is a Senate item for children's therapeutic services providers, and that costs a small amount of $292,000 in 0809. And then going to the very end here, there's also a cost to the health care access fund in the Senate position that's related to increases in eligibility that are done elsewhere in this bill that interact with this proposal and create an additional cost in the health care access fund. Online, going now all the way to page 15, on line 873 is the governor's proposal for services for deaf and hard of hearing people, and this item was fully funded in the Senate bill with the exception of some administrative costs that the department was seeking, and which were funded at a lower level in 0809. The cost in the Senate bill is $1.4 million for the next biennium. On 883 is the Senator Rosen bill, chemical use assessment requirement, and this provides money to the department to implement some recommendations from the legislative auditor at a cost of $187,000 in 0809. On line 891 is a appropriation for a meth treatment program extends the sunset of this program from this biennium to the end of the next biennium at a cost of $550,000 in 0809. This item also includes a transfer from the Department of Employee and Economic Development to DHS from the meth loan abatement fund at a cost to the Department of to cost a deed of $200,000 in fiscal year 08. On line 898 is the elimination of the Wilmer evidence-based treatment activity at a savings of $600,000 a year. There is a web-based application which they maintain, which will be transferred to the Department of Human Services after the program or activity is eliminated. On line 903 is the Senator Berglund bill for chemical dependency county maintenance of effort allocation modification at a cost of $2.9 million in 0809. On line 908 is a Senator Olson, Mary Olson, provision for one-time funding of $90,000 to Leech Lake Youth Treatment Center planning grants. On line 914 is a appropriation from the Lottery Prize Fund for a North Star Alliance. This is Senator Kubley bill, a cost of the Lottery Prize Fund of $550,000 in 0809. On line 919 is the Senator Solon bill for compulsive gambling education and treatment, appropriation from the Lottery Prize Fund of one time of $800,000 in fiscal year 0809. On line 925 is the governor's proposal to refinance the HIV and AIDS insurance program by taking it out of the general fund and putting it in the health care access fund. That item is not included in this bill. Going to page 16, line 932 is Senator Mary Olson bill for kinship navigator program at a cost of $350,000 in 0809. On line 938 is a Senator Lynch item for Region 10 quality assurance expansion at a cost of $240,000 in 0809. On line 944 is a increased a one-time appropriation for the Centers of Independent Living to study with the Department of Community Support options at a cost of $60,000 in fiscal year 08. On line 951 is the governor's proposal for nursing home report card expansion, providing basically funding. So there are seven nursing homes which currently are not MA certified that don't participate in this program, and that item is not funded in this budget. On line 957 is a Senate position to require timely petitions for commitment to avoid hold orders, and this reduces for individuals who are awaiting or have petitions for commitment into the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. This reduces state collections or revenue that the department receives from counties, because the whole length of hold orders will be shortened, and that creates a cost because of the reduced revenue of $280,000 in fiscal year 08.
And this item, however, has a huge savings to the counties by reducing the length of time people are in hold orders, and the counties pay 100% of that cost.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Neville.
Did I get the cite in the bill on that last provision?
228.
What page is it in?
Joan will get it for you.
Okay.
I think it's right here. Page
228. I'm just looking in the bill.
Mr. Chair, members, 962 is the governor's proposal to take some savings in the Minnesota Security Hospital Census Adjustment, and those are included in the Senate bill at a savings of $2.98 million in fiscal year 08-09. On line 968 is the compensation adjustment, which is funded in the Senate bill at three and a quarter for all staff. And that concludes the Department of Human Services. Then moving to page 17, we have the Department of Health. On line 1009 is an administrative support services reduction of $182,000 in fiscal year 10 and 11. And that those funds then are placed in the health improvement account on line 1014 for a pay-for-performance agency incentive. And that amount is the same as the reduction. And the goal in this case for the agency to meet is to meet its health disparity goals, which they'll be surveying in the next biennium, in 10 and 11 biennium. On line 1019 is a governor's proposal to use TANF funds to expand the home visiting program, and that item was not funded in this budget. On line 1025 is the restoration of the 2003 family planning grant reductions. Senate position of was Senator Marty Bill of in the cost to this coming biennium is $2.3 million. On line 1030 is a governor's proposal for funding for the MinAble abstinence program, and that is not funded in this bill. On line 1035 is to reduce a reduction in the positive alternatives grants that creates savings in the Senate bill of $2.4 million in 08-09.
Mr. Chairman,
Sarah Berlin,
you can just stop here. There are a number of members of the Senate that have encouraged me to reduce this line item to zero, and in the spirit of compromise, because I know there are some members on both sides of the aisle that support this program, we have left half of the funding in place. And I'm hoping that we can have a spirit of compromise around here about this item. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that like to spend this money on other items that they feel have a higher priority. There are other people that want it fully funded. So the reduction of half is a compromise.
And Senator Berglund, on that point, is one of the members you're referring to who wanted this program reduced to zero. Certainly if we find there are efforts on either in this committee or on the Senate floor to start dealing with other parts of your bill, and we need money from other places in the bill, this would be a very good place to look for it.
Mr. Chairman, I will defend my budget pages, including this one, on the Senate floor.
Mr. Chair, members, continuing on line 1040 is an appropriation, a Senate position here, Senator Berglund bill, to provide funding for a birth defects information system to expand this to statewide data collection at the Department of Health, the cost of $750,000 in 08-09. On line 1045 is an appropriation of $200,000 to provide family support and assistance to families with deaf children and provide them with mentors. Next, on line 1050 is a fetal alcohol spectrum disorders proposal from the governor of which is included in this bill at $1.8 million for 0809. Turning to page 18 is the governor's proposal to refinance the loan forgiveness program using healthcare access funds to pay for it. The Senate here, just on line 1060, provides additional funding in the tails of $400,000 each year from the SGSR account. This just simply extends a sunset that is supposed to go into effect at the end of fiscal year 09. On line 1064 is a Senator Dibble bill to provide funding for an HIV information and referral service at a cost of $320,000 in 08-09.
This is restoring a cut that was made last biennium, and then the Department of Human Services asked the Department of Health not to implement it, but it would be implemented this year in the budget, so we're just making sure that funding is not lost.
On line 1070 is a hearing aid and instrument loan bank appropriation of $140,000. This is a Senator Lynch bill. On line 1075 is an item from Senate File 2, which provides funding for FQHC grants at a cost of $11 million to the Healthcare Access Fund in 0809. On line 1081 is funding for is the governor's proposal for e-health grants, and those are funded in the Senate bill at $27 million for the biennium as a one-time cost from the Healthcare Access Fund. There's also a difference between the governor and the Senate here in that half the money is set aside for grants and slightly less than half the money is set aside for a revolving loan fund, whereas the governor provides all of his funds in the form of grants. Next, on line 1089 is the Merck Federal Compliance one-time transition funding. In the Senate bill, this provides $5 million of general fund money to hospitals who will be at a disadvantage under a new Merck funding distribution for Merck payments to hospitals. Next, on line 1096 is a Healthy Connections item associated with the governor's budget that was not funded in this bill. On line 1101 is a healthcare access survey item, which is the governor's proposal, provides $600,000 in 08-09 and $600,000 in 10-11 to provide a survey of the uninsured in Minnesota. On line 1106 is a health plan purchasing study and work group. This is a Senator Olson bill. This is just noted in here. There's no cost that the agency, Department of Health, will absorb these costs and conduct this study. On line 1111 is administrative costs for the Department of Health for setting up to provide assistance for a uniform billing committee and also a health information technology committee that they will be required to do under Senate File 2, and this provides $292,000 for administrative expense.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just interject here, these are existing statutory committees, and the one on uniform billing has been in existence for 15 years. So the Department of Health is supposed to have been achieving a uniform billing system for 15 years. When we said it had to be done by next year in our bill, there was a request for increased staffing. We partially funded that increase, but I am pretty annoyed at the idea that we've had this activity going on in the Department of Health. They've produced nothing, and now when they're asked to perform, they ask for staff.
Turning to page 19 on line 1116 is funding for MDH for administrative costs associated with implementing the health insurance premium caps that are traveling separately. I believe it's Senate File 857, and those costs are $232,000 in 0809. On line 1121 is administrative reductions for two specific items that are funded out of the Healthcare Access Fund. One is an $180,000 savings for a healthcare cabinet position that's currently being used for the governor's healthcare cabinet work. And the next one is on line 1124 for the almost a full FTE for the information clearinghouse, savings of $140,000 in 0809. On line 1127 is community initiatives to cover uninsured and underinsured. This was a Senator Erickson Robes bill, one-time cost of $300,000 in 08. On line 1132 is a governor proposal for long-term care alternatives and alternatives doing some planning and background check and consumer information through the Department of Health on that issue. That is not funded in the Senate bill. On line 1137 is, and now actually I'll go through these hopefully pretty quickly, the next several lines, housing, these are all fee adjustments which were recommended by the governor, and they're all fully funded in the Senate bill. We have housing with services fee adjustments, mortuary science fee adjustment, occupational therapy fee reduction, hearing instrument dispensing fee adjustment, and a state well program maintenance fee adjustment. And those are all identical to the governor's positions and all involve SGSR money. On line 1164 is the governor's proposal to provide general fund money for tuberculosis prevention. That was not included in this budget. On line 1169 is a PFC water treatment point of use evaluation. This was a Senator Saltzman bill, and the majority of this is funded, I believe, out of Senator Anderson's division, but the remaining, there's a remaining amount of $40,000, which is carried here. Next on line 1174 is governor's proposal to provide increased funding for the public health laboratory operations in the Senate bill. Senate bill doesn't fully fund the whole request, but does set aside money to cover the increased lease costs that the department has associated with the new building. On line 20, I'm sorry, on page 20, line 1180 is the governor's proposal for increased newborn screening fees to continue the newborn screening program, and that is fully funded in the Senate bill. On line 1186 is a Senator Marty bill, which provides universal newborn infant hearing screening, and that's funded in this in the Senate bill, and increases the newborn screening fee to pay for it. And that's an SGSR fund issue. On a line 1192 is a specimen handling fee increase, which the governor proposed, which is included in the Senate bill. Next, on line 1198 is an SGSR account transfer of one time $7.2 million from the SGSR account to the general fund in fiscal year 08. So that creates savings in the general fund by $7.2 million. On line 1205 is the governor's proposal for pandemic influenza preparedness, and this item is funded in the Senate bill as grants to counties and local tribes for the amount of $1.2 million in fiscal year 08-09.
Mr. Chairman, a large amount of the request from the governor in this area was one-time money for paying for respirators and paying for money to treat a third of the population with antivirals, and that is in the one-time recommendations that our committee made to this committee, not in this bill.
Mr. Chair, members, on line 1211 is governor's proposal for disease surveillance modernization appropriation. This is funded in the Senate bill at one time at $2 million in fiscal year 08, which should address at least one system that needs to be upgraded for this area. On line 1219 is the Department of Health's compensation adjustment, which is done at three and a quarter. Civil difference from the governor's. And that concludes the Department of Health. Then beginning on the next page, we have the Veterans Homes Board. On line 1239 is an agency management reduction of $50,000, which then is placed in the health improvement account for pay-for-performance agency incentive. And in the case of the Vets Home Board, the agency incentive is that they do not have the most severe deficiencies that are at any of their nursing homes, any of their five nursing homes. Next, on line 1249 is a governor's proposal to maintain current service levels at the vet's home, and that's fully funded here at $1.3 million in 08-09. On line 1254 is the vet's home compensation adjustment, which is included here. It's identical to the governor's because the governor has this agency at three and a quarter as well. Next are health-related board items. I'll just go over these quickly. The first set are operating budget increases that are needed by these particular boards: chiropractors, dentistry, pharmacy, physical therapy, psychology board, and veterinary medicine board. And these are all just fee adjustments, these just appropriate additional money for these operating increases that are needed. The governor's recommendations were accepted in whole here by in the Senate bill. Next, on 1275, represents the compensation budget, the compensation adjustments for for the employees at these boards. And the amount is identical to the governor's because his were funded with 3.25 as well.
These are all special revenue funds.
That's
these
correct.
Are all fees.
That's right. Every one of these appropriations in this section are state government special revenue fund. On 1293 are retirement payouts for four of these boards: dietetic nutrition, marriage and family therapy, optometry, and podiatry board. And those are all funded from the SGSR account, identical to the governor's and the Senate bill. Going over onto page 22 are some other individual board changes. All of these were accepted by the Senate with the exception of one. I'll just go through them quickly. $500,000 of SGSR money for the Board of Medical Practice for contested case costs, and that was funded in the budget at the governor's amount of $500,000. 1306 is additional staff to address workload shortages or workload issues at the nursing board, and that was fully funded in the Senate position at $711,000. Board of Pharmacy increased facility inspections is identical to the governor's proposal at $346,000 in 0809. On 1316 is the one item that the governor proposed which was not included in this bill, which is to license physical therapist assistants, and that was not included, I think, for reasons Senator Berglund had already mentioned. And then on line 1322 is the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy item, which is just to align the budget with the workload, and that creates savings in the SGSR account of $624,000 in fiscal year 0809. And then here on Emergency Medical Services Board, middle of page 22, line 1334, is a Senate item which converts the existing open and standing appropriation for longevity awards account to the Board of Emergency Medical Services to a direct appropriation. And the original standing open and standing appropriation was at $900,000 a year. That is now reduced to $700,000. And is a direct appropriation, which results in savings in the general fund of $400,000 for 0809. On line 1340 is
And Mr. Godfrey, Senator Berglund, when we had the amendment earlier, it raised the question, but why was this ever an open and standing appropriation in the first place?
I don't believe, Mr. Chairman, that it's very good budgeting practices to do that. And I did try and change it in the 03 session and was not able to do that.
So do we know what the history is? Why was this set up as an open and standing?
Well, the argument that's made is these longevity awards are treated like pension funds, but they're not really pension funds. And the board has enough money in the bank today to fund their longevity awards for the next 20 years. So we thought it would be appropriate at this point in time to make it a biennial appropriation rather than an automatic standing transfer of general fund money. We need to remember, members, this is general fund money we're talking about.
Mr. Chair, members, on line 1340 is this is a Senate position, transfer from the EMS board award account, the longevity award account, a one-time savings transfer to the general fund of $400,000 in fiscal year 08. On line 1347 is the state EMS medical director proposal from the governor that's fully funded here with general fund at $100,000 for the next biennium. On line 1352 is the governor's proposal to provide for emergency preparedness coordinator at a cost of $150,000 in 0809, and that's included in the Senate position. On line 1357 is appropriation for a regional EMS program appropriation. This was a Senator Coring bill, one-time spending of $400,000 in 08. Next on line, the very last line, is the compensation adjustment for the EMS board, and that is funded at a slightly higher level in the Senate position because it's at 3.25. And then finally on line 1369 is SGSR appropriation for health services program case manager that the EMS board runs on behalf of all the other health-related boards, and that cost the SGSR fund $150,000 in 08-09. Next, moving on to Council of Disabilities, on line 1379 is a Senator Tomasoni bill, which provides appropriation to for a program that assists disabled people with assistive technology. This would provide $200,000 of loans for this effort for individuals who need this assistive technology, and $100,000 to regional collaboratives.
And without this appropriation, we'll lose federal funding that's available to match this money for the microloans.
Next, on line 1385 is governor's proposal for the elimination of the Council on Disability sunset. And that's in the Senate bill at $1 million for fiscal year 08-09. And then on line 1390 is the compensation adjustment, which is funded at a slightly higher level for the Senate, representing the 3.25, 3.25. The Ombudsman for Mental Health and Mental Retardation is on line 1399 as the governor's proposal to maintain current services. That's in this bill at $185,000 of general fund money. Next, on line 1404 is compensation adjustment, slightly higher level again here for the Senate at 3.25, 3.25. And then finally, you have the ombudsperson for families on line 1410 at a compensation adjustment that is 3.25, 3.25 at a cost of $30,000 in the next biennium.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've done a really lot of good things in this bill. We could have done a lot more good things if we would have had more money, but I think with the money we had, we've done a good job.
Was that a really lot of good things? Did I hear that right?
Done a lot of good things in the bill. I know people wish we could do more good things.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, I missed whether you mentioned the black nurse programs. Were you able to put any funding into them?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Anderson, they will receive the COLA, but there is no increased funding for them, just as there is no increased funding for the cuts that were made to the CAP agencies, no increases for the crisis nursery program. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I wasn't quite clear on what you had done for the community health clinics.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, you will see a number of places in here where we have increased funding for them. I believe it's very important to maintain that safety net while we're trying to get more people insured. You must remember that the 50,000 people, 50,000 plus people that we will insure who are uninsured occurs over a four-year period because you just don't get them all at one time. It takes a while for these programs to get people back in, and in the meantime, we need to maintain our safety net. So we have increased funding through a new federal formula for the federally qualified healthcare centers, and then in addition to that, we have funded grants that are provided through the Department of Health at a higher level for the federally qualified healthcare centers.
Further questions for Senator Berglund? Further committee discussion, amendments, motions?
Mr. Chairman, if there are no amendments, then I would move that. Oh, wait, I've got one more amendment myself. This is an A11 amendment, technical amendment. The staff just brought to me during the presentation of our bill. This was language that was adopted in the division but inadvertently omitted by the staff when they put the bill together. And this relates to the Iron Range Center for Independent Living and the Iron Range Center rate increase for their day training and habilitation program, and this would be the operating language for that appropriation.
Okay, if we can have the amendment distributed.
Thanks.
Okay, we have Senator Berglund's A11 amendment.
Basically takes everything I have.
Questions? Okay, if not, Senator Berglund moves adoption of the A11 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
Yes, I have an A9 amendment also. This is a recommendation of Mr. Mossman that the transfer that we're making from the deed fund for meth cleanup, that's excess monies there, that it would actually be better to have it be a transfer from the Department of Finance. And so that's what the A9 amendment would do.
Oh, is that all your bill does? I am?
Okay, we have the A9 amendment in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all's in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, then I'd move that Senate File 2171, as amended, be recommended to pass.
Okay, we have the Berglund motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? Not all, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Senator Berglund
much,
and
members.
Mr. Godfrey.
Sure. No,
and until tomorrow morning, committee's adjourned.
Well, but I don't know if they're including
here we go.
Statements. I think that's a good suggestion to include them, but I'm not.
What's going on there?
I'm not interested in agreeing to a study.
Well,
welcome.
Thomas Sony doesn't hate me as much now.
Oh no.